We're going to begin a new series tonight. I've entitled it Knowing and Growing. We're going to go through the book of 1 John. And in this letter of 1 John, John has some things that he wants us to know. Some things that we need to know if we want to live a joyful, successful, fulfilling life. Not just a joyful, successful Christian life, but a joyful, successful, fulfilling life in general. And so, who wants to live joyfully? Can I get an amen? Amen. Right. Me too. And so John is going to tell us some things. We're going to be studying this. I'm preaching tonight. Brother Josh is next week. Then Brother Kelly, Brother Wade, Brother Greg, everybody's going to be preaching through it. Should be a lot of fun. But tonight we're going to begin with the first four verses. So let's all stand. And we're going to read the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. It says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we've seen it. And we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and we have heard we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 4. "And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word tonight. I pray that you would open my mouth to speak its truth. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have your will and way in each heart tonight. I pray that you would move not only in me, but in everyone who listens, both here in Victory tonight and those who are watching online. Father, I pray that you would equip us and encourage us with these words about how to have a joyful, complete life in you. Father, we give this service into your hands. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So John starts off here talking in verse number 1, and he says, "That which was from the beginning." That which was from the beginning. If you think about something that was always there, what comes to your mind? Not speaking about God, but about something that was always there. Me and Jackie and Caden, we like to go riding up off Pilot Rock and ride through the hills up there. And there are some rocks, huge rocks, big as a house. And you know, you look at those rocks and you think, that rock has always been there. It's never moved. It's never going to move. It's always been there. We had an old game warden in Desark who used to say that the Ozarks were, when God created the earth, all the leftover rubble that he had, he just piled it up and that became the Ozarks. I always thought that was kind of funny, but it's kind of what it looks like. Those big boulders have always been there. Back home, my oldest son, Paul Allen, just moved back to the farm where I grew up. And he and his wife are living there, a little bit down from mom and dad. And there are some oak trees out there in his front yard that it would take three or four of us to join hands to get around. Those things are hundreds of years old. Those oak trees predate the United States of America. I mean, they're old. They've always been there. At least from my perspective, they've always been there. But John's not talking about that. John is not thinking about ancient trees or even rocks that have been piled up. He is speaking about the eternal, the infinite. And so John begins his book speaking about this, and he says, "That which was from the beginning, that which was eternal, that which was infinite," and he says this, it's incredible, "we have seen it." John says, "We have seen it, that which was from the beginning." From the beginning of time, from when time started, we've seen it. And when he says we, he means I've seen it. He says, I've seen it. And I'm here to testify and tell you about it. And he calls this the Word of Life. And he says, the Word of Life which was from the beginning we've seen. He uses similar language in the book of John, in his epistle, the book of John, in chapter 1, verse number 1, he says this. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then down in verse 14, he said, "And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen it. We have seen His glory, Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's speaking, of course, about Jesus. He's speaking, of course, about the Word of life. He says, we've seen it with our eyes. And John says that not just once in this short text. He says it three times. He says, we've seen it in verse 1. He says, we've seen it in verse 2. And he says, we've seen it in verse 3. I think it was important for John to let the readers know this was not secondhand knowledge. This wasn't something he'd heard about. This was something that he had seen, he had experienced. And he had witnessed it and walked with Christ for 3 years. And he says, not only have we seen it, he said, we've touched it. We've touched the eternal with our own hands. Now you think about that for a minute. We've touched the eternal with our own hands. There's power in that. John had experienced something that few people would ever have the opportunity to experience. Not only had he seen the Word of life, but he had physically touched the Word of life. And of course, he's speaking about Jesus. That Word of life is Jesus. And we have to understand that this name for Christ is very important. But what does it mean? The Word of life. What does that mean? Well, back in John chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, listen, I'll read it to you. John chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, he says this, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him and through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Understand, guys, Jesus was the mouthpiece of God the Father, who spoke life into existence. Jesus was the mouthpiece that spoke life into existence. The eternal, immortal, all-powerful became mortal and became understandable. What this is saying is that literally, life was and is in His words. In the words of Jesus was life. What are you talking about? He spoke it and it came to be. Jesus spoke life into existence. He didn't have to build it. He didn't have to think about it a long time. Jesus said, let there be, and there was. And then what did He say about all of it? It was good. Let there be, and it was. And let there be, and it was. And it was good. Over and over and over. Incidentally, let me pull something else out of my marriage class. This just was brought up last week. The first time Jesus said it wasn't good was when He created man. He created Adam, and He looked at it, and He said, this ain't no good. This boy ain't going to make it. So He made a woman to go with him, to be a helper. First time God didn't say it was good was with Adam. You can look it up. Anyway, that's just for your information. But literally, life was in His words. So life, the eternal, immortal, all-powerful, became understandable. John says in verse 2, look back at verse 2, and this life was made manifest. What does manifest mean? Manifest means made visible, made knowable. So Jesus is the eternal life, and He became knowable. He became manifest. He became understandable. And John says we've seen it. Down in verse number 3, he says, this life we've seen and we heard, we proclaim it to you. We declare it to you. What does that word proclaim or declare mean? It means to bring tidings from someone or to bring a report. This isn't a passive thing that John is doing as he's communicating. It's not passive. He's not saying, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, I used to kick it around with Jesus. Me and him, we were good buddies. That's not what he's saying. He is actively saying, this is an imperative. He is saying, he is shouting it from the rooftops. This is of vital importance. Think about it like this. What John is saying about the life that we have seen, that we have touched, is akin to this. It's akin to saying, they've discovered the cure for cancer, and it's in one pill, and you only have to take it once, and you'll never have cancer of any kind, and it's free. They're giving it away. All you got to do is go down to the store. They're handing it out to everybody. You'll never have cancer. If you knew that information, Wouldn't you feel that it was vital to get that out? Brother Doug is the only person here that would think that it was vital to tell you how to not ever get cancer. Listen, I had an old doctor one time tell me, everybody's going to die from cancer eventually if you live long enough. It's just going to happen. May not happen to your 110, but you're going to die from it. So if somebody discovered a cure for it, wouldn't you want to tell them? Imperatively, yes, you'd want to shout it from the rooftops. And that's what John is doing. That which was eternal, we've seen it, we've touched it. If you had that kind of information with every ounce of your being, you would want to share that news. And that's what John's doing. It's what he's doing in this letter. It's what he did in his epistle, telling the story of Jesus. But why is he doing that? Keep looking there in verse number 3. That which we've seen, we proclaim to you so that, why? So that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's doing this so that we could share in His fellowship. He's doing this so that others could receive what He had received. So that others could know what He has known. Think about it like this. Let me give you another for instance. It's akin to saying, if the church is on fire, if your house is on fire, it's akin to saying, listen to me. There's a fireman. He's right here. He's holding my hand. He knows the way out. All you got to do is come take his hand. He's got me. He's going to guide you. Just come take his hand. Come take his hand. Come take his hand. Come take his hand. Because I want you to be saved and to get out of this burning building. That's what John is saying. That's what we are to be saying. He says we share in a common fellowship. Fellowship with who? Fellowship with each other. Fellowship with us. Listen, there's nothing quite like church family. I heard an author last week, I was listening to a podcast, and he said, you know, I think one of the greatest reasons that people are lonely today, he said people by and large, they ask a pool of people, And like 74% of people say the worst thing in their life is they're lonely. And he said, I think one of the largest reasons why people are lonely is because they have neglected their church family, their social group. 100 years ago, everybody was a part of a church family. 50 years ago, everybody was a part of a church family. Now people are trickling away and they don't think it's important. Church is an option. And they take that option when there's nothing better going on. And they can find anything. I mean, when the weather's like this, that's better. That's enough. We'll skip because this weather's great. And so they've made church optional. They've made fellowship with God, God's people, optional. And it makes people lonely because you don't have... Listen, when we were in the midst of that COVID mess, and I agree with Brother Doug, and we didn't meet for a while and we were having virtual church, I hated it. It was weird. Sitting on a couch in my pajamas trying to worship is weird. I couldn't do it. It was just bizarre. The reason it was so weird is because I wasn't with you. And I came to understand very clearly the power in worship for me is in community. It's in when we all come together and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Together. Oh my goodness, I need it. I need it. And I need you. And whether or not you know it, you need me too. Because that's just it. But he says we share in a common fellowship with believers. But more importantly than that, he said, we share in fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John is declaring to you so that you can know what He knows, so that you can understand what He understands, so that you can have what He has. That's exactly what He's called us to do. Share what we know, what we have, what we understand, so that others may know it and have it and understand it. And then in verse number 4, He says, "We are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete." Now this is an interesting verse, because depending on what translation of the Bible you read, some translations say, so that our joy may be complete, is what the ESV says. I believe the King James says, so that your joy may be complete. And the reason it's different is because there's two different main sets of manuscripts that these verses were translated from. And one of them says our joy, and one of them says your joy. So which one's right? Yes! Yes! They're both right. I think both of those translations are exactly right. Because knowing what we know, knowing that others can become partakers increases the deliverer's joy. And hearing and knowing the message increases the receiver's joy. The fact is, both of you have joy. Those who receive it get joy, those who give it give joy. It's like Christmas. Do you get more joy when you receive a present or when you give one? Yes! I want them, but I love to give them too. Why? Because I love to see other people happy. And you know, it makes me happy to make other people happy. But I love getting Christmas presents too. It receives everybody's joy is built up. So, practical application. I got two pages of practical application. Won't take that long. Practical application on these four verses, the introduction to this book. Number one, John was a trustworthy source. If you want to ask somebody, hey, what do you know about a Nissan Altima? Or about one of those rainbow vacuum cleaners? Y'all remember when rainbow vacuum cleaners were all the rage? Buy $1,000 vacuum cleaner that had water in it. That's just weird. But my mother had one. Or if this is a good place to visit, who do you ask? Somebody who has one, right? Ask me about a Nissan Altima, because Jackie's had one since 2014. They're great cars. The headlights are terrible. But the car is great. Ask somebody who's got a fancy vacuum cleaner. Ask somebody who's been to that place. That's who you ask. You look for an eyewitness. If you're in a court and the judge is taking testimony, he doesn't want anybody who says, oh yeah, I heard about this from Jim Bob over here. And he's, no. He wants to speak to who? Eyewitnesses. People who have been there. People who have seen it. People who know what they know. Okay? If you want to learn about a war, who do you ask? Ask a soldier. You want to know what a war was really like? Ask a soldier. Don't ask a history book. Ask a soldier. They'll tell you. You want to know about what 9/11 was really like? Talk to a firefighter who was running up and down those stairs. They'll tell you what it's really like. You want to know about some legendary football game, or talk to a player who played. You want to know about a great concert or a wonderful revival service or a wonderful week at church camp. Ask somebody who was there. If you want to know about Jesus Christ, ask the apostles. Ask John. He was there. He saw him. He touched him. He walked with him for 3 years. And by the way, he was the one that Jesus loved. Now, he said that about himself, but I'm sure he was right. The apostle that Jesus loved. Ask somebody there. They knew because they were physically there. And thankfully, they recorded what they experienced so that we could have an account. And that's why we as Christians read the account. We weren't there, but we have first-hand eyewitness of those who were. Amen. So you have to read the account. John was a trustworthy source. But we should be trustworthy as well. We should be a trustworthy source of information about God because we've experienced Him. We've experienced His Son's saving grace. We've experienced His Spirit moving in our lives. We've experienced God, so we should be a trustworthy source. A trustworthy source is someone with real life, first-hand experience. Now, there's a vast difference between academic intelligence and experiential intelligence, right? Vast difference between the academic and those who have experienced. Let me relate to you a little story. You've probably heard it, but it's a great story. I'm going to tell you anyway. There was a giant ship, and the engine failed. Seized up, locked up. And the ship owners could not fix it. And they called in everybody who they knew, who was very intelligent, who knew how to fix this boat. None of them could fix it. And finally, they'd about given up hope, and they finally called this one old man. He'd worked on ships his whole life, and he was 100 years old. He was old. And they called him because he'd done it his whole life. And he came onto the ship, and they were watching him like a hawk because they wanted to know what he was going to do. So he immediately went to work. He started looking at the engine. He was walking around. He was climbing around on the engine. He was thinking about what he knew, and he walked back to his toolbox, and he pulled out a little bitty hammer. And he walked over to one spot, and he went, dink, 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 and whoa, 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 that giant ship's engine lurched to life. And he put his hammer back in his toolbox, and he left. And the owners were just dumbfounded. They just mouths were hanging open. They didn't know what to do, but their ship was running. They were excited. And then a week later, they received the bill. And the bill was for $10,000. And they said, we need an itemized bill. We're not paying you $10,000. You didn't do anything. You hit a hammer, just tinked it with a hammer. That's all you did. So he sent him an itemized bill. And you know what it said? It said, for tapping with a hammer, $2. For knowing where to tap, $9,998. I tell you that story because to relate to you the importance of hands-on, real-life experience. The man in the illustration, he had real-world understanding. It allowed him to do what others could not do. John had real-world, first-hand knowledge, hands-on experience with Jesus. But we do too, right? We do too. Listen to me. The most powerful tool in your toolbox as a Christian is your testimony. It's what you've seen, it's what you've done, it's what you've been through, it's how God has changed your life, how God has touched your life. So I ask you, what has Christ done in your life? How has He blessed you? That's powerful to other people. What valleys has He brought you through? That's powerful to other people. What restoration have you experienced? Share it! Share those things. And then the second application point is, why do we share them? Because sharing our message brings joy. Sharing the message of Christ increases our joy. Listen, I know a lot of you guys always asking me how old I am. Well, I'm 47, almost 48. But I've been in ministry for about 30 years. Long time. And let me tell you something. The greatest joys I've experienced in ministry, in 30 years of ministry, doing different things, the greatest joys I've experienced came from sharing what I know. There is something truly special when you're sharing Jesus with somebody and the light comes on and they get it. When you are sharing the gospel and the light comes on and you see their face and they get it and they cannot wait to hit their knees and accept Christ. Now, very rarely does that happen the first time you share. I read a study one time that said the average Christian hears the gospel 8 times before they accept Christ. 8 times. A lot of times you might be number one, but what if you're number 8? Right? What if you're number 8? You've got to share that. If you want to have a joyful life, you have to share it. It's also wonderful when the things that I've walked through can help guide someone else. The valleys I've walked through, the salvation I've received, the restoration I've received can guide someone else. When I tell my story, that's wonderful when it helps someone else. Now listen, I can choose to share my story or I can choose to not. You have the option to hide it under a bushel. You shouldn't. What are you supposed to do with it? Don't let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. You know. Y'all should do this. This is kind of fun. The greatest joy comes when you share your experience, your life of Christ, your walk with others, and it changes their lives. Listen, when you don't do that, it leaves this huge void in your heart. What did Jesus do? Jesus poured Himself out. He let go of the splendors of heaven poured divinity into a human body and gave it up for you and for all those people around you, for the sorriest sinner you know, for the most righteous person that you know. Jesus gave it all up for those people, for you. And you need, and I need, to share it. If your walk of faith is stale, like I say, 30 years in ministry, you see a lot of folks. And you see some people who are really on fire for Jesus. Anybody remember when you first got saved, how excited you were about getting saved? When Ethan Foster, a few weeks ago, got saved and received Jesus. And that little booger got saved at home, and then he came forward for baptism. And you know what he did Monday when he went to school? Told his whole class he got saved. He was telling them out there in the school bus line. Tell them all, I got saved. I got baptized Sunday. How about that? You want to come get saved and get baptized? This is Ethan. He's 7. He's telling everybody. Mike Foster related this story. Is Mike even here tonight? No. So I can tell it. So Mike related this story to me. He said, I got a text from Ethan's teacher. I don't like getting texts from Ethan's teacher. I get a lot of texts from Ethan's teacher. And he said, I got a text, and I thought, oh, Lord, I just read the beginning of it. Hi, Mr. Foster, this is Ethan's teacher. And I went, oh. And he said, my heart just sank. And he said, then I read it. And Michael, and big old Mike Foster kind of teared up. He said, the teacher said Ethan came to class this morning, stood up and was telling everybody in class he got saved and been baptized. And it just blessed my whole life, this little man doing that. Mike said, I about lost it. It was the greatest news I'd ever heard. Ethan was excited because what God had done in his life. Do you remember being that excited? Maybe you've been walking with Christ for 50 years, but man, the last 20 have been boring and dull. And there's no joy. It's cold. It feels pointless. Let me ask you some questions. When's the last time you shared your faith? Nothing fires people up like sharing their faith. Why do you think Brother Ken's so enthusiastic all the time? Hey, Brother Ken, if you're watching tonight, because I know he didn't feel well. That's why he shares all the time. It fires him up. And listen, Ken Worthing's fired up. He's so fired up sometimes he don't know whether he's coming or going. But the man's fired up because he loves talking about Jesus. He loves sharing God's Word. It does something to him. It do something to you too. When's the last time you exercised your spiritual gifts that God's given you? Listen, there are some folks in this church that God has gifted to be able to sing. God is gifted to be able to teach. God is gifted to be able to take care of babies. God is gifted to be able to lead out in various ministries. God has gifted some of you to be great recruiters for the kingdom. I mean, you can go up. Brother Josh Childs, I ain't never met nobody like that man. Everybody he goes up to and he says, hey, would you? They automatically say, yes, of course I would. I was youth pastor at this church 11 years. I don't remember anybody ever giving me nothing. Josh is youth pastor at this church. 1 week, ordered pizza for the youth ministry. Went into the Domino's pizza place. He said, hey, I'm Josh Child, youth pastor over there at Victory Baptist Church. The man gave him 11 pizzas. Said, here, just take them. You can have them. God bless you. I bought Domino's pizza 100 times. Ain't nobody ever give me nothing. That's a true story. My point is, you have spiritual gifts. If you want joy in your Christian life, use those gifts. Share your story. Share your life with others. Listen, even share the parts you're not proud of. Some of the most grateful people that I've been able to touch in ministry have come up and have said, when you shared your testimony at that men's conference or in front of that class, and you said the stuff that you'd been through and the stuff that you fought with when you were younger, that touched me because I'm there. And I just wanted to reach out to you and say thank you and ask you to pray for me and ask you to be an accountability partner for me. I'm not proud of those things, but God uses even those dark things in our lives to build up His kingdom. Share and watch your joy increase. James said, show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead. If your faith is feeling dead, get to working. Get to work. Get off the bench and get in the game. If you want a joyful life, A joyful Christian life comes from sharing and giving of yourself. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man, tonight is the night. Can I tell you, best decision I made it years ago. Best decision I ever made. And the reason it was the best decision I ever made is because once I accepted Christ and started walking with Christ, He has pointed me in every direction I was supposed to go. And I know it was God because He took me in directions I wasn't planning on going. I didn't have any intention of going. But God moved me. God can move you too. God can bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to turn over your addictions and turn those into something that you can share a powerful testimony. God wants to turn over the sadness in your life and give you joy. If you will just give your life to Him and live for Him. Listen, this book is full of all kind of instructions. Follow the book. This morning, Brother Doug was talking about marriage. Man, listen. Marriage is hard sometimes. But it don't have to be. It don't have to be. This book has some powerful insight if you'll listen. And God wants to step into your life. Maybe you've been living a Christian life for a long time, but the last few months or years have just been boring. And you just think, man, what's the point? Why'd I even bother going to church? People don't miss me. People don't know when I'm there, know when I'm not. I'm just ho-hum. You got the Eeyore syndrome. Oh, bother. Everybody loves poo. Nobody loves me. Sorry, I'm a youth pastor for all those years. Comes out sometimes. And they don't even know who Eeyore is. But sometimes we as Christian grown-ups get the Eeyore syndrome. I've been there. Man, we feel sorry for ourselves. Feel like nobody cares. Feel like we're not making a difference. What do you do when that happens? Go to work. Get up and go to work. Shine up them working shoes and get to moving. Get that paddle and start helping paddle this boat. This is a big boat. We need a lot of rowers. You know what I mean? It's a big boat. We need a lot of people rowing. Get up, get your oar, and let's row together. Whatever your need is tonight. The altar is open. God is waiting. Will you come? Let's all stand. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word tonight. I thank you for the goodness and the grace that you have poured into each of our lives. And Father, I pray that right now, Lord, during this invitation, that you would prick each of our hearts, mine included, Lord. Help us to see where we could do better. And help us to share with more vigor, because the message we have is the most powerful, life-changing message on this planet. Help us to not neglect that. Father, if there's someone here that needs to make a commitment tonight for salvation, for baptism, if they just want to become a part of this body and begin serving here, Father, help them to do that. Forgive us when we fail you, in Jesus' name.